Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. Hope you're having a great Monday morning. October 20th, this month seems to have just flown by, and just a friendly reminder that early voting will start November 1st, Saturday, and extend through November 8th, the following Saturday, without the Sunday, November 2nd, the polls will be closed. So just a reminder for the election that will be held on November 15th. And we have three races, I think, that are still outstanding. And there are, I believe, a couple of other issues that are going to be on the ballot for that day as well. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to visit with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll talk about the First Brands crash and another company as well. These were companies you probably wouldn't hear about, but they have an underlying serious situation. Wall Street and others worried about the breadth and depth of this because a lot of this goes unreported. We'll talk about that and the significance of same. We'll talk about France, still in chaos, and what that means to us. We'll talk about what's going on in New York with the mayor's race and some other issues there. Federal shutdown update. Can you believe this? 20 days later, still down. And it doesn't seem like we're getting any closer. And AI fraud now becoming a huge problem. At 11:30, Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints online reporter and digital content producer. We're going to check in with them, see what people are saying about yesterday's game. The Saints are now 1-6. They go down to the Bears 26-14, 44 total yards rushing. It was not a pretty performance by any stretch of the imagination. Was looking at stats today. Can't find a silver lining. Maybe Jeff will and turn our Monday around. Brian Lagarde, executive director, Project NOLA, very successful project. Brian's been running an incredible organization over there. He has seen imagery of people easily moving these barricades on Bourbon Street. You know, they're there to deter vehicular traffic and prevent another terror type attack. We spent weeks, if not months, talking about, right, distributing these barricades, how this is going to work, maintenance of same, importance of same. In the aftermath of the event, we find out in this budget process, a lot of money has been spent on overtime. Obviously, not a lot of attention to the execution of these barricades. Very disheartening, quite frankly. I don't know about you, but I'm really disappointed to hear about how easily these things are moved, how that works. No one doesn't look like there's an operation to check on these things during the day. No one's got that responsibility. Obviously, they would take care of this stuff, right? But we'll talk about that and more. Now, what is going on? Well, in the French Quarter, some people are upset. Others are very excited, not unlike any other decision, any other policy initiative or identified group of activities that go on in a geographic area. There are winners and there are losers. And the question is, as we evaluate the winners or the losers, are the losers really losers, right? And in this case, I'm going to argue that they're not. And what am I talking about? Well, it seems as though there has been an effort by the NOPD, the Orleans Parish Criminal Sheriff's Office, in making sure that they are enforcing the city ordinance, that all of these street performers that are out there on the street in the quarter at 8 p.m. go away. Now, mind you, most of these people are not even permitted. So they're not supposed to actually be there in the first place, right? You know, the drummer kids that are sitting in front of beating buckets in front of some of the most iconic restaurants that we have to offer here in the city of New Orleans. No big deal. That's part of our culture, is to sit down at a restaurant that's been open only a couple of hundred years and have to listen to some kids beating plastic buckets out front. Makes perfect sense to me. If we walked into a boardroom and we thought, how could we increase our sales, improve upon the ambiance of what we're offering people with this incredible dining and hospitality experience, I know what would come first to mind is we'd go grab those plastic buckets of those materials that we purchase in order to cook our foods and get some people with drumsticks to go sit on them and beat on them right at the entry to our restaurant. I can't think of a better idea. I mean, just think of the multiplier effect that it has on the ambiance of that restaurant, of eating to the beat of drums, creating a rhythm by which you can place your fork in your food and cut it and put it into your mouth. Oh my God, it's limitless as to the possibility and the potential here to create this, as this notion would move across the country and everyone in some of the most iconic cities in the world will have bucket beaters at the front door of their Michelin star restaurants. Can't think of anything else, right? And the reason I go through that, folks, don't you think maybe that's how we ought to approach some of these problems that we have? Like, we're investors, right? We own pieces and parts of this company. We're sitting in a room and we're deciding the future of it, how we're going to improve upon this. What would we do? What wouldn't we do? Maybe we compel all these street performers to actually buy a permit. It's amazing to me that people actually believe that they have some kind of constitutional right to conduct their business on public property and not pay anything for it. And these same people are the same folks who attempt to fall under the cloak of culture bearers that believe that there should be a separate strategy for them to be able to foster a landscape so that they can make money and support themselves utilizing public property for free. How does that work? And if everybody decided that that's what they want to do, how could we manage that? Think about it for a moment. And that's the friction point here. So they're upset, right? They're upset because at 8 p.m., the officers come out and they move them along and they get them out of the quarter. And they're upset because they're not able to take advantage of the numbers of people that move to the quarter after they've finished with their conferences and everything else. And they're going out there to enjoy themselves because they believe that what they have to offer adds to the experience and their ability to earn a living means that it's got to be good for everybody else. Meanwhile, the companies, the restaurants, the hotels, the individual store owners, the gallery owners and alike, who are sitting there paying taxes, have permits, occupational license tax, property tax, collect sales tax on behalf of the city, all of these other things, paying employees, providing insurance, have to get property insurance. If they're serving food, health department certificates, they're going through the largesse of government regulation, paying for each and every component of same, because you don't get any of these permits for nothing. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the street performers pay nothing. And they're in competition for the dollar that's out there. Because then you have the folks pulling the red wagons, selling Jell-O shots, have a built-in bar. Even now, have battery-operated blenders. They're making blended drinks out there. Yes, it's not an exaggeration. I saw it the other day. It's absolutely incredible what's actually going on. They don't have to pay anything. They don't have to wait around for an inspector to come by for an inspection. They don't have to front money, waiting to get a permit, maybe months on hand, not knowing whether or not they're going to pass whatever inspections are had. And we want to talk about as though we take this process seriously from the government perspective. Meanwhile, we don't enforce anything on these individuals that are out there doing what they want, when they want, how they want. And we're all supposed to be happy about it. And we all are supposed to show concern. And we are accused of being having no empathy for these individuals that just want to go out there and do whatever they do, perform whatever they perform, don't worry about the decibel level of what they're doing and whether or not they're disrupting an adjacent restaurant or an adjacent band that's playing live music or otherwise, because what's good for them is good for everybody else, right? And we just need to be more tolerant and suck it up. So there it is in a heartbeat. Back to the ranch. The owners of the businesses there, they're happy. They're ecstatic. Why? Because they recognize that their businesses are not being impacted by these people doing what they want, when they want, and how they want. And they actually think that the police presence is of value, that it serves as a deterrent effect to those that may be doing something else. When you create the culture of not enforcing, it's kind of the broken windows theory, right? I mean, it goes right back to it. If you accept a little, they'll push more. You find yourselves accepting more. Government needs to set a bar and not be willing to accept anything less, plain and simple. That way, everyone knows what the expectations are. And we're not giving in. There are rules. You play by those rules. Or guess what? You don't play. You don't play at all. Because you obviously had to have good reason to put the rules in place in the first instance. If not, then why do you have the rules? If this is what you want, a laissez-faire attitude about everything that goes on in any neighborhood in the city or any neighborhood in any community in the state, and this really isn't just about the city because there's a lot of this going on in other municipalities and unincorporated areas in the state of Louisiana. Leaders have to be willing to consume political capital, make the tough decisions, sending in the enforcement arm, and making sure that people are playing by the rules. It's not that hard. It shouldn't be that hard at all. In fact, the property owners are saying, and I quote, "The street has felt better than it's felt in a long time. Better, cleaner, safer. Now, what does that create? Actually, that creates an environment for everyone in their tolerance levels to enjoy the French Quarter. You bring a more robust, diverse population to the French Quarter. There's something for everyone there. Going back to the boardroom, if we were sitting in there talking about how we could get more people, more wallets moving through the French Quarter, gain a better percentage of the take of tourists, those new wallets that come to the city every day, it would seem to me that this would be one of the top issues that we would talk about. We wouldn't be talking about jugglers. We wouldn't be talking about bucket beaters. We wouldn't be talking about fortune tellers. We wouldn't be talking about all of these folks that are there, non-permitted, and just doing what they want, when they want, and how they want. And even setting up in locations that are really problematic in crossing streets and everything else. Because why? They locate in places as though they went into a boardroom and said, if we had to maximize our take, where would one locate oneself? And guess where they locate? At cross streets, we're trying to get across these streets, traffic's backed up and everything else. They're doing it. They're going through the mental gymnastics of having a board meeting, but government is not. Why is that? Why is that? It's absolutely amazing to me that this friction point still exists today in the French Quarter. Some of the street performers are saying the police have never been stricter than they are now. It really hurts us a lot. After years of lack enforcement, officers faced pushback when they got to work initially. Glade Bilby, that's his quote. He's been on his show a number of times talking about these situations, talking about this difficulty, talking about the balance of interests, right? And now that they're enforcing, guess what happens now? They're feeling the same thing that all the other business owners have felt by virtue of their activities. They're taking it in the shorts. They're not making as much money. They're unhappy with their ROI. And what's interesting is their investment is pales as it relates to everyone else. I spend a lot of time talking about this because the impact on our local economy, these are dots that you can connect. When you're not conducting sales tax audits, when you're not being intrusive as it relates to zoning ordinances, code enforcement, permitting process, and all of these activities, the byproduct of this is what we have seen in the French Quarter and what the expectations are of those who have continued to violate the laws and the ordinances of the city of New Orleans. Not for months, not for years, but for decades. In the moment in time that you begin to enforce, they get angry. But the problem that we've had is we've never had sustained enforcement. And sustained enforcement is the only way that you can set a bar and create a culture of not being willing to accept anything less. This culture of non-compliance continues to wreak havoc on our local economy, to wreak havoc on the transfer of property here in the city of New Orleans. Consider the following. If you drive into a neighborhood, and the first thing you see are 20-foot and 40-foot containers in the middle of empty lots, with abandoned automobiles and cars parked all over empty lots. And there's a beautiful little double right down the street that you're thinking about purchasing, that you want to renovate, that works absolutely wonderfully for you. It's in a great location of a historic neighborhood, and it has all of these little touchstones that meet your expectations, but you have overgrown lots and 20 and 40 foot containers and abandoned cars six lots down from you. Do you think that place is marketable? Do you think it's going to be easy to sell? Do you think that we're going to be able to maximize a property tax take that is the most stable revenue source for the financing of government? No, in fact, what we worry about is that property owner and whether or not we're going to impact that property owner's rights. Who's not doing the right thing? And is not too terribly different than the bucket beaters and others that are setting up their business on Bourbon Street. And until we look through a clear lens, it is what it is, and it ain't going to change. I'd love to hear from you, 504-260-1870. We'll go to the talk lines when we return. What are your thoughts? We have the chance of a new beginning, a new mayor coming in to office on January the 12th, Monday, January 12th. The last day of this mayor's administration is on my birthday. Happy birthday to me. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
And I did want to point out that one of the reasons I talked about this, there was an article very well done by Sophie Kasikov, a writer for NOLA.com. It was published on October the 19th, where a lot of these observations were made, similar to what I've been talking about for a long, long time. I was encouraged because I'd not heard about the level of enforcement that had been going on in a while, and I haven't had an opportunity to talk to anyone about it. I visit the quarter almost every week. I absolutely love the French Quarter. It's my favorite place of the city. Between there and the Warehouse District, I was in the Warehouse District Saturday night, down there all the time. I was in the French Quarter Friday evening at a private party, previewing some art at there, and it was a beautiful evening. It was great walking around. It's what I love. Garland Robinette was previewing his work. Absolutely gorgeous work, by the way, and it was great. Loved it. Can't get enough of it, to be quite frank with you. Let's go to James on line one. James, what say you?
Good morning, my brother. You're absolutely right about the enforcement, which is great. You've been talking about that issue, and something's getting done. But I really want to talk about some of the things you don't talk about that are almost or at least equally important to me. Can I kind of turn this into the James show instead of the news show?
Go for it, my friend.
Okay. About 2 weeks ago, Justin Parrish AG's office put out a letter to Justin Parrish about some of the failings going on in Justin Parrish. And I hear little to no news on local news about some of the systematic failings in Justin Parrish government. Can you please look into that and address it?
I could tell you about it right now. One of the reasons, well, first off, as you well know, you know my relationship with Cynthia Lee Shang. So I don't spend a lot of time talking about what I think are the great things that she does. And I don't spend a lot of times about some of the decisions or things that happen that, in my view, are not so great. But I will tell you that I know a lot about why they find themselves in the position that they find themselves in as it relates to the internal machinations of the finance department. A lot of people don't know they're still on an IBM AS400 because previous administrations have not wanted to take that transfer to a more modern system. And this administration has been working towards that end for several years now. And there has been a remediation plan in place for a fairly lengthy period of time. Unlike when we talk about the city, there is no remediation plan. And in fact, contrary to having a remediation plan in place and following it, we just shoot from the hip. And we have a history of shooting from the hip. So that's why, James.
Oh, great, because if it takes as long to fix New Orleans, because like you said, this has been going on for years, and we're about to get a new administration, and we're optimistic about New Orleans, because as New Orleans catch a cold, the rest of us get pneumonia. I think that's pretty much the theme of your show. Am I correct?
Close, yeah.
All right, close. Okay. So if New Orleans takes as long to correct their problems, and my wonderful parish, because one of my favorite places to be is where I am right now, Harvey, Louisiana, because it's close to everything that is good, near and dear to me, especially my grandchildren. The point is, we need to comprehensively and regionally work together to solve our problems, because they're not just unique to New Orleans. That's my point.
All right, look, I don't agree with you. I mean, I don't disagree with you. Excuse me. I'm a firm believer, as the city goes, we all go. Now, we may be able to hold on a little longer here in Jefferson Parish. I think Plaquemines can hold on longer, St. Bernard, St. Tammany. But if New Orleans becomes, figuratively speaking, an anchor, we're all going down. It's just a question of timing. We need the city of New Orleans to succeed. And it would be great if they succeeded greater than the whole, meaning the whole metropolitan area, because the tide would rise, I believe, much higher, as opposed to all of us having reached a level of excellence far greater than the city. And because the city has the national identity. There are things going on in the city, James. I'm telling you, I was there Friday night, as I said, to see Garland Robinette's artwork. I drive through the French Quarter, and I'm looking around. I'm like, there's no place in any parish in the state of Louisiana that has the numbers of people that I saw driving 8 blocks into the French Quarter over a period of about 10 minutes till I was able to park the car. Nowhere. Does that experience exist anywhere in the state? And I look at all of these people is they're paying sales taxes. There's sales taxes, sales taxes, sales taxes, sales taxes. As a tax collector, that's how I view the world. And I'm like, I don't know how we don't have the money to support ourselves when I see this day in and day out. I was in the warehouse district Saturday night. I was having dinner down there, and the place was packed. It was packed. All the restaurants around there were packed. Every restaurant I go into, I ask the restaurateur, how's business? How's it going? What's going on? To try and get a feel for the economy. Well, we had an August like we always do. That's perfectly understandable. No better, no worse than traditional August. Right now, we're ahead of budget. We're ahead of budget. I have yet to have someone tell me in the month of October that's not where they are. But yet, we're posting deficits. We're not, our revenues are down. I can't understand where this is and what sectors of the economy are dragging us down this way. Because, as I said, we have the benefit of new wallets coming into this city every day. That's a beautiful problem to have, that you're not completely relying on your local people to spend their money to make your economy.
Okay, I agree with you 100%, but just to reiterate, you do realize some of the problems are systemic, such as our fire department not being paid. We have what I call a dual system of fire protection in Justin Parish. We've got two systems. There's some systemic problems in Justin Parish, and I would wish that we could at least stay them.
Well, it's not really a systemic problem, right? This is what the voters have wanted. I mean, this is what the voters have asked. The reason you continue to have volunteer fire companies on the West Bank is because that's what the population wants. And the reason that you have a paid fire force on the East Bank is that that's what East Bankers wanted, because you do have some volunteer fire companies that still exist on the East Bank, predominantly in the municipalities on the East Bank. Why? Because that's what they want.
Right.
So it's not necessarily a systemic problem as it relates to the construct of the fire department there. So I don't think that that's an appropriate characterization. One would think, though.
Give me more than my time. Thank you for letting me voice again.
I appreciate you calling in, James. And I was going to say, one would think, though, in today's world, that we would have a consolidated fire district. I don't disagree with you there. Again, going back to what I've said historically, you need to elect people that are willing to consume political capital in order to make it work. Because what's going to happen is you're going to have firefighters that are going to oppose it on the West Bank. You'll have firefighters probably will be in favor of it on the East Bank, of consolidating this fire company, because they believe in strength in numbers and they're going to get stronger. There's a big battle going on right now over fire pay in Jefferson Parish. And the way that the construct of this works is that they can't give a raise to entry-level people unless they give a raise to everybody in the entire chain of command of the organization. It is the most bastardized situation that I've ever seen. It's a governance model that will ultimately implode at some point in time. And in many respects, I don't know why they think that they're doing this, and they're talking about how crappy a job it is. But yet there's, at one time, there's a two-year waiting list waiting to get on to this crappy job. It is so crappy, there's a waiting list waiting to be a firefighter. And the general public needs to recognize this. And this fire safety code or whatever, this insurance rating thing that they always talk about, BS. Don't buy that story either. And it's all about, where's the money? Where's the money? Where's the money? But I've never seen a line for a crappy job. Doesn't make any sense to me. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
On the text line, it says, you love the French Quarter, but you don't love this country. You gave a spineless, if you gave a it about our country, you'd apply your beef with the culture of noncompliance to the law-breaking Trump administration. That's a fact. And the spineless Republicans allowing it. You know, it's kind of interesting, this No King's Day. And I kind of look at this and, I can understand people's frustration. I don't agree with everything that Trump has done. I certainly don't agree with all of the execution the same. But let me point out the obvious, you know, when we talk about this. It seems as though people like forgot that the whistleblowers relative to Hunter Biden inside the IRS, which claimed that he was being given special treatment under the Biden administration because he was the president's son. Right. And so what ultimately happened? They had a number of whistleblowers that lost their jobs, were retaliated against. Some have been reinstated. Others have decided not to come back. But all of what they did was according to law. Right. And Hunter Biden ultimately pled guilty. Everything that they said came true. Now, the only way that something like this, and then Hunter Biden got a pardon. So the only way something like this comes about is kind of acting like a king, right? What about the intel officials that signed that BS letter about the Russia hoax relative to the Biden laptop that was orchestrated by who ultimately became the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken? I hear a lot of people crying about that. They BS the entire world into believing that something was typical Russian action, and it turned out to be real. They even fooled the mainstream media. And then when you go back this past weekend, I went back and read a good number of the executive orders given by Joe Biden. Immigration, contrary to law, on so many different fronts, it's scary. Sounds like a king to me. Climate change, contrary to law, just an ideology put into place. The forced degradation of fossil fuels, all of a sudden that wasn't good, changed the policy relative to hitting our reserve supplies of oil. Pipelines did that by executive order as well. Politicization of the DOJ. Andrew McCabe, Lisa Page, James Comey, Hillary Clinton, just to name a few, and they're still being uncovered as to who they were protecting. Then we had the onslaught of DEI and ESG, of compelling companies to engage in both of those practices. No basis in law, just to say, this is what we expect of you, or otherwise you're going to be punished. Hunter's businesses, government payoffs, Ukraine, China, and Russia, all been proven. Every single last one of them. No one's talking about that. Executive pressure on the media relative to reporting, continuing to reveal itself. We got all crazy about a couple of late night show hosts, but not crazy at all about what we were doing with mainstream media and social media and compelling and threatening them relative to what they were going to be allowed, what they would allow to be said on their platforms. And then presidential commutations are pardons for people that have not, there was no allegation at this point, at the point that they were given, that they were actually engaged in criminal activity. So can you imagine a pardon for a crime yet to be recognized, yet to be investigated, yet to be charged, and all-encompassing? It may have covered any potential criminal conduct that they would have engaged in the future. Now, who does that? Sounds like a king. Just an observation. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.